Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily right here on the Chop Sports Podcast Network, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio here in Mattawan, New Jersey. Sturch and Gooch, and of course, first of all, Gooch, Air 5, 40,000 downloads today across the network. We want to thank everybody for doing that and contributing and sharing and liking and subscribing and everything that you guys do.
Echo.
It's all because of you. All right, got it. Everything that you guys do is really important to us as far as your downloads and your subscriptions and stuff. So there's a lot of things in the works right now. There's going to be other ways you could support Chop Sports. Eventually, we're working on that today. But yeah, man, it was a good day yesterday. It's a good day today, and it's a good day for the network. And bravo to all the guys that are on the network, all the podcasts, even the future podcasts. As I sat down with Scoop yesterday at the bar with his cousin Vinny. Nope, no pun. It's literally Scoop's cousin Vinny. So it was cool. We talked about it. He's not going to actually do it. It's not going to be a Knicks podcast. It's going to be like basketball with a Knicks flavor because it's just like where we do our sports.
I had the impression that it was like Knicks, Nets.
No, it's actually they're both Knicks fans. But they're going to do an NBA podcast and also cover a lot of college basketball. So they're going to cover it all. And they're going to record every night, 10 o'clock at night. So we have to be here for it.
Dare we say Hoops with Scoop? If you know, ladies and gentlemen.
If you know. But anyway, speaking of hoops, first of all, I mean, look, there's something to be said about the New York Knicks right now as they get another big win, 112-99 over the Philadelphia 76ers. A complete stranglehold on the Atlantic Division right now.
Dave, and if nobody cares about the Knicks on a Wednesday afternoon, week two of the NBA season.
If the season ended today, the Knicks would be the 2 seed right now. So, I mean, that's exciting. If they could just hold on for 78 more games, we're golden.
Did Embiid play yesterday?
Nah. Yeah. No? Yes? Yes. Yes, he did.
Was he injured?
No. Was it him? No.
Either way, it's a nice win against
the Sixers. It is a nice win.
They haven't won in Philly.
They have not won in Philly. First of all, the game was in New York. They haven't beat Philly in 15 games. They've lost 15 straight meetings to the Philadelphia 76ers. And we took care of business last night. Kemba Walker, 19 points. Welcome to New York. I'm so excited about this team. It's so refreshing to have the youth on this team and then not have to worry about. Everybody seems to know their role, you know, and that's a big thing when it comes to camaraderie and it comes to just winning games in this league. You know what I mean? And I think that's something to be said for that. I truly do. And again, I'm not bashing the Nets. It's too early for that. I don't want to do that. But we run New York. The Knicks, it's a Knicks city. It's a Knicks town. It will always be a Knicks town. And the NBA and the viewership is always better when the Knicks are better. Straight up.
Yeah.
And shout out to your Halloween graphics, by the way.
I was waiting for that. I'm very sorry.
I looked at, actually, I was like focusing on the camera and then I looked down again and I'm like, wow, man, these things look awesome. You know, it is Halloween after all. You know, we're a couple days away from Halloween. Are you dressing up this year?
Yes.
Wait, what? I was actually expecting you to be like, F no. Like, you're dressing up.
Do you want
to
know why?
Because you have a 14-year-old girlfriend.
No, because she put a fucking gun to my head, and you can't say that on camera, Dave. She's 23.
23, sorry.
So, but yeah, I have a Halloween party this weekend, and she was like, you're coming, right? And I said, oh, and she was like, you're coming, right?
Wow, legitimate gun to head?
Yeah, so I'm going, and I'm going to be Disco Ken. We talked about this. I'm going to be...
God, it's
Ken,
just...
Ken, but it's really Kent, because I look nothing like Ken. I'm developing a middle-aged beer belly, and my nickname is now Chonky, right?
So Chonky?
That's what it's developed. Last month I was Sausage, now I'm Chonk.
Wow, and like Sloth Chunk.
Yeah,
right? I like it.
So I'm Chonky Ken, we'll call it.
Oh, my
Chonky
God.
Chonky Disco Ken.
I like it. All right, well, listen, Chonk, have fun at that party. I don't know if I have to dress up.
Don't ever say that again.
What?
Don't ever call me Chonk again. That's not for you.
I mean, that's not for me. Because look at me.
I'm not the fucking sauna guy, Dave. Don't come at me like that.
I came very close today to going to him and saying, look, you're you are now a character involved in my podcast and every day.
So do you want to get lunch? Is that where you were going with it? Like, you are now involved in my day-to-day operation. Everybody knows about you.
All
my friends know about you.
I don't even know his name. I'm so embarrassed at that. And he definitely said it. He definitely said his name originally, right? And I was like, oh, hey, you know, hey, I'm Dave, you know, and I do the whole shaking hands thing. But anyway, I'm not going to get back into the character that is Sauna Guy. I'll talk about what my Halloween plans are. I have a nephew who's going to be dressing up as John Travolta from Grease, and then I have my daughter who's going to dress up as the chick, whoever her name is. I forget. Sandy? Daisy. Sandy. So anyway, they're gonna do their little thing. Scoop Espo. Speaking of Scoop, he's the one that's going to be starting the podcast. I think I said that already.
Yeah.
I'm close to breaking up with Sauna Guy. It's almost over. We'll see. We'll see if we can work things out. But anyway, back to the Knicks. Back to sports. We have the Knicks beating the Sixers. Obviously, I'm excited. The Knicks fans are excited. And I know you don't give a shit, Gooch. But I will say this. Speaking of NBA as a whole, last night there was multiple games played. The Knicks weren't the only game on the docket.
Yesterday was the Joker got hurt.
Joker. Now it was possible MVP candidate. He gets hurt, and I guess it's what are they calling it? A contusion now.
Bruise. He banged knees. It wasn't any non-contact injury, which is a great thing.
Those are actually worse,
especially a guy his size. You don't want to deal with anything like
correct.
That. But either way, they're gonna. You're saying load management. I see it on the rundown. I mean, he's actually hurt. He tried to play.
You know who's not actually hurt? LeBron James is not actually hurt. He sat out.
LeBron James got somebody crashed down on his leg really, really hard the other day.
There's
he was down for about 40 minutes.
LeBron
finished the game, but we knew that LeBron's going to sit some games out early in the season because he's
it's
in year 19.
It's a week into the season, bro.
Bro, the Lakers
get off
are the oldest
bench,
team
you
in the
bitch.
In the
like, what are you doing?
They got to do this for the long haul. And
the long haul. My
ass still covered yesterday, baby.
You did.
Hit my cover.
Yeah, you did. Actually, you know. Congratulations on that. And by the way, Gooch, gee, if there was a place to bet on games, where would you go?
Go to BetMGM, baby, and that's where I went. And honestly,
they're great.
This all started my whole entire bankroll that I have right now, and I'm not saying that I'm rolling, but I did hit a big parlay 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
I haven't done bad since. Like I've been hovering around the same, and then the Raiders won me some money last week. And
did you at least cash out a little bit so you can like either A, pay for Chop Sports, or B, like just a little bit before you threw it all back in there?
I have not cashed it out yet, but it doesn't mean that it's irrelevant. I'm not going to bet that money. I'm not an idiot.
I got $50 in there. I got $50 just hanging out. I was winning, and then I chased the money for no reason because I lost like one bet. I was like, I gotta get that back. Do you know I actually went on their? This is scary. I went on their online casino.
Don't do that.
And I played roulette.
Don't do that.
Like, what is wrong with me? And then listen, truth be told, if you have a problem, which I almost developed one, 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, 1-800-GAMBLER is the problem line.
Or if you have a problem. Click the link on the top of our website and go lose all your money to BetMGM so we could get a cut of that.
Yeah, seriously. So if you
I'm
do want
to really here to help.
Right.
I need help.
All right. We all need help.
See where I went with that?
I do. I see that. I will say this. If you guys are willing or wanting to bet on any of the sports, whether it be basketball, baseball, football, whatever, go to BetMGM. There's a link in our website, chopsportsmedia.com. Click on Jamie Foxx's face. Drop some money, register, deposit, place a bet. Everybody wins. You're helping out Chop Sports, and you're helping out yourself if you win the bet. All right, so that's my NBA. I mean, there's just, again, we're a week into the season. We can't really go crazy with the NBA right now. But we will talk about something that happened as me and Scoop were chilling there with a beer over at Miller's Ale House in Woodbridge. I will say that there was a press conference yesterday with this piece of garbage, and I will not say what's gonna what's on the screen right now.
I will,
but it's true, and if you want to do it, you can. He is a
clueless anti-football pussy.
That's that exactly
Roger Goodell.
So technically everything that John Gruden said I'm not agreeing with, obviously, for very obvious reasons, but he did say this about Roger Goodell.
I think the whole
he is 1000%
the whole
accurate.
Country agreed with this immediately. We read the entire report on Gruden, and everybody collectively, like, as you're reading it, looked up and was like, they said to the world collectively, Well, he's right about Goodell.
He's right about Goodell.
That's 100% fact.
Roger Goodell went on record last night and basically addressed a lot of the stuff. So he basically broke his silence on a lot of things. People were asking questions about the Washington football team. People were asking questions about Deshaun Watson. There was a lot of things that Roger Goodell covered that I just find to be so... He's that. He's literally, if you read the screen, he's clueless, man.
He's a dog shit person.
He's just not a good person. And I don't think he's got this power, right? And it's scary that he has so much power to do what he does. He dropped one big line about the Washington football team last night. And people were asking questions like, well, what's going to happen, right? He drops this line. You can read it on the screen and I'll read it for you. We're very conscious of making sure we're protecting those who came forward. Goodell said after 6 hours of the NFL owners meeting in Midtown Manhattan, that was a very high priority. Now, that's
funny because I saw reports all day yesterday and the day before about how all these people that were affected by this were urging the NFL and the Washington football team, Dan Snyder in particular, to release the entirety of the report.
Yes. So, and now, so we're not going to
really protecting him.
Anything. We're not going to say one word about anybody that comes through. So wait a minute. So then we're going to have, you know what that does, Gooch? That leaves us open for the, not discussion, like accusations.
Everything is open to interpretation now.
Not even that.
You're going to interpret it how you'd like. And to my understanding, the reason why they're not coming out with this is to protect the NFL. It has nothing to do with the victims.
Absolutely. So he's protecting the shield, clear. And that's bullshit.
John Gruden hasn't said much since this whole thing happened, but he did kind of talk a little bit and release a statement, and it was very cryptic, and he said something along the lines of, like, the truth will eventually come out. Well, maybe not now, but I do believe that eventually all the curtains will be peeled back on this.
I agree. And this is where I think it goes. I think this goes like this. Anybody who's removed going forward, your assumption is going to be that they were a part of all this. You know what I'm saying? Like if some coordinator, strength and conditioning coach, something along those lines of the Washington football team is let go or rumored or dismembered.
That staff is probably all gone at this point. Well, that's crazy. But
they should be.
That staff is probably all gone at this point, but they're probably scattered around the league on separate staffs here and there, maybe some in college. You don't know.
That's what I'm saying. You have to.
Look, bro, Matt LaFleur was probably on that staff. Right?
That's scary. That's as spooky as this graphic. You know what I mean? Like this is the kind of shit that I don't quite understand when it comes to the NFL.
I don't think that many of the coaching and the strength and conditioning guys, I don't think that they were really privy to the emails between two friends. Like that was the GM of the Redskins and John Gruden, who are close friends.
They obviously were privy to it because they got it.
Well, not all of them. I don't know that the entirety of the staff was involved in those emails. So there's a lot of layers.
All you have to do is hit reply to all. You know what I'm saying? Like, and all of a sudden, people are going to be linked. So as these dominoes fall in this investigation, you're going to make your assumptions. Now, like, okay, Gruden's a piece of shit for what he said, right? But then if Joe Schmo B from Washington football team.
The NFL might not be able to withstand what happens if those emails all get released. So, and
we're
talking
topless pictures of their cheerleaders, bro.
First of all, this is not my exact stance on this, but there is a shred of me, the football fan side of me, and all moral issues aside, where I'm like, thank God, because I really don't want to deal with the NFL completely collapsing and tumbling down week 10. You get what I'm saying? Like,
right.
The NFL obviously is big enough to withstand anything, and you're seeing it here because they're hushing this entire report. It's huge, obviously. To my understanding, there's actual victims. So what's going to happen when people get prosecuted? If they do get prosecuted, then are they going to not release what happened or why? It doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. And they're saying they're protecting the victims, and that's bullshit because these are the people that want people to speak up.
I don't know if there's a criminal investigation, so prosecution might be the wrong word, but... There's no
illegal wrongdoings here.
But there's going to be...
shit talk.
There's going to be a lot of financial ramifications.
Yes.
So there's going to be court proceedings based on those things and lawsuits, et cetera. So.
What's the end game here? Is Daniel Snyder going to sell this team? He can't be involved anymore. He's being, according to Goodell yesterday, he's being held accountable for what went down. He's being held, that was his quote, held accountable. So what does that mean, bro? Like, what is being held accountable mean? I mean, shame on you. Don't do that again.
No, he's the, who's being held accountable?
Daniel Snyder.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's what he said.
He said Gruden. Gruden's the only one.
No, he's the only one. Gruden's the only one who got the brunt.
It's almost like, in some ways, Gruden is now the victim. Whereas, like, he clearly fucked up, but everyone's like, well, that's fucked up. He's the only one that's getting blamed. You get what I'm saying? Like, it almost puts it in a spin on things where people start to feel bad for the guy who actually really did fuck up in this situation. Not me, per se. He made his bed, but it's an interesting dynamic all around. But when we talk about all these types of situations, the common denominator is that Roger Goodell is a piece of shit human being.
And he's not consistent with his being. He's not consistent with his piece of shitness. Okay, because he does things how he wants. He's judge, jury, executioner. I don't ever remember a day in my life where I was like, Paul Tagliabue is a piece of shit.
Yeah, he probably had some issues too.
Yeah, but every time you see that guy, he's just like a soft-spoken old man who's just like, "Hey, I'm trying to run this thing and build this NFL and blah blah blah." You never even what?
No, I'm good.
Okay, you got me scared there for a second. You never even heard one bad thing about him. And I'm sure, yes, everybody's got skeletons, but Roger Goodell has been outed as a total garbage can. You know what I mean?
It's like $60 million a year, too.
Oh, good for him. God.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. What a piece of garbage. Anyway, that's enough about Goodell because I'm done with it. But there was even bigger and better things happening last night as our favorite boys, the chop, the A,
the Tomahawk Chop, baby, game one. And Major League Baseball came out and said that they are not going to make the Braves change their name ever. They're allowing the Tomahawk Chop. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, because in a world where everything gets screwed and there's no more Cleveland Indians, you know what I mean? Like, you're leaving the Braves alone, and the Braves took care of business last night. They won game one 6-2. The things that come out of that game, obviously, bigger than Morton
with his broken leg.
He broke his leg, and then he continued to pitch on it.
Not only that.
That's insane.
He was throwing some heaters. He was throwing some junk out there with a broken leg. So 16 pitches.
16 pitches on a broken leg.
In the World Series.
So, for everybody who says these professional athletes aren't tough, and a lot of them, except for LeBron James, he's still a bitch. But, like, I would say Charlie Morton pitching all that torque on a broken freaking leg, just like Kurt Angle winning the gold medal with a broken freaking neck. This is huge. But it is huge, and now it's a huge loss because now he's gone. There's no more Charlie Morton. They're not going to have him for the rest of the series.
Next man up for Atlanta. This is kind of what they've been dealing with. Imagine the Braves lineup had Acuña right now. Their best player is.
What about the other guy too? Didn't they lost two guys? Didn't one of them domestic bullshit? Didn't somebody get in trouble?
Oh yeah. But I'm talking.
But I'm saying, like, imagine that too.
Early though.
Yeah, that was early. But I'm saying, imagine if they had their full arsenal of guys, and they're still putting six runs up on the Astros, which is great. This game was the tone was set. The tone was set. Literally, I think it was the third pitch of the night that Jorge Soler goes. Solar. It's that thing into orbit.
Yeah, that was actually good.
Hey, you like that? Yeah, sometimes it's Jorge Soler. Sometimes it just
Jorge Soler went solar. I'm here for you, though. I'm here for you, bro. But tonight we got game two.
We do. Right? We have game two. It is game two tonight, 8:07. I'm glad there's no lag between the games. You know what I'm saying? Like I sometimes in what look, NBA
the Astros had 4 days off, and then they gave the Braves 2 days off. So these teams are both rested.
Well, these teams are built. Baseball teams are built to play back-to-back series nights. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm glad it's going right back to work tonight. Something to watch tonight, at least. 8:07 tonight. If you do, like I said, want to bet the game, ladies and gentlemen, there are your starting pitchers.
Max Fried, -105, -1.5 at 150, +155. So baseball point spreads and odds
run spreads
are very, very strange to me. I always have to look at it for an extra couple of seconds to really
Ozuna, pick that's what it was.
Who the favorite is. But in this case, it is a slight favorite too. And I'm still trying to figure it out. No, it's the Braves. The Braves are a slight favorite.
No, they're not.
Are they not?
No, the minus money is the favorite. Right. The money line. Well, no.
But that's what I'm saying.
Oh, the money line. I was looking at the spread. Okay.
Money line only.
Money line only. The Braves are the favorite here on the road. The Braves
aren't the favorite.
They're not?
My mind is going to explode.
My mind is telling me no.
Scoop here commenting who's favored.
I'm looking at this.
Anyway,
Jimmy Palumbo getting involved here saying.
I'm not betting this anyway. I just felt like if anybody does want to bet it, here's the point spreads, here's the odds, here's all that good stuff.
NBA game.
You want to bet MGM.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And you click on the link, or no, you go on chopsportsmedia.com, click the link, sign up, do all that good stuff, and bet on the baseball game.
Jimmy Palumbo saying that game two of an NBA finals would be played next Monday. Like game one last night, a week off game two. But I'm glad, man. Baseball is so very back, and we're excited, man. I mean, look, the game two's tonight. But again, I don't know. If the Braves win this tonight, right, bro, I got a good feeling that the Astros will not be able to battle back.
Like, I have a good feeling the Braves are going to win it regardless, like whether it happens tonight or not.
I'm just saying, imagine stealing two on the road, man.
Down 2-0 on the road.
That's huge. Once upon a time, the Yankees were down 2-0. To the Braves in 1996, came back, won the damn thing. And
before yesterday, that was the Braves' last win in the World Series. They lost 8 in a row after that.
Really?
Yeah.
So who did they get swept by after the Yankees? They got swept by Yankees in 98?
They got...
Or 99?
Did the Yankees beat them twice?
I thought they beat them twice.
So they didn't get... They got swept the following year then, or 2 years later. Anyway, we're gonna get off topic because I have no idea. Does anybody know out there? Jimmy, do you know? What year did the Yankees sweep the Braves?
98. No, was that the Padres?
Padres.
So 99. Because they won 3 years in a row. It had to be that one. So I'm making myself like a complete buffoon as far as a Yankee fan is concerned. But in any event, that is the World Series, and it goes down tonight. So there's a lot more to talk about. When we come back from break, all you UFC heads out there, let's get to work.
He said we never swept the Braves.
Never. No, 96, we didn't sweep the Braves. I know. I just said they came back from 2-0.
Ever.
Okay. Then, but you're saying they lost 8 straight. So that means they got swept twice by 2 other teams. I don't know. I'm just saying. Like, that sucks. Yeah. Like, that's not good baseball. Another comment coming in. 96 down 0-2. Yeah, I know, Jimmy. Jesus. Hell, I just said that. Anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, we got a big, big UFC card coming to you on Saturday night. So we'll preview that because Chopheads MMA just dropped today. Yesterday, and they talked all about it. So we're going to touch on it because we are UFC fans after all. So this is when Jimmy tunes out, and we'll be back right after this. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out flippingmadeeasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to flippingmadeeasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's flippingmadeeasy.com. All right, welcome back to the show here, the CHOP Sports Daily right here from the Flipping Made Easy studio here in Matawan, New Jersey. Your host, of course, Sturch and Gooch. And, of course, it's spooky season, so that's why you're looking at these graphics right now if you're just joining us. Gooch is putting in the overtime last night and this morning, putting in the work for all these graphics, so thank you for that. We have comments coming in. The Cowboys suck. That made no sense. But, hey, listen, Jimmy Palumbo always got to get that dig. Yes. Braves were swept by the Yankees in 99. So there you go. Thank you, Scoop Espo. I told you that, or at least I knew it. I mean, maybe I didn't tell you that, but in any event, there is a interesting UFC card coming up this week. There's a couple fights that are obviously preferred as far as the ones that jump off the screen. Chopheads MMA dropped last night. You and Tommy D talked more about this in length, but there are a couple fights, and we're going to feature three of them. So, Gooch, obviously the floor is yours.
Yeah, this is a title fight that nobody wants to see. Obviously, Błachowicz is he's a legitimate champion. Don't get me wrong. And he deserves to be the champion. He went out there. But there's no John Jones at 205. So since John Jones left, I feel like that kind of left a void in that division.
That division itself.
There's really no one that stepped up and actually took over as a star. There is some guys, but it shows you where the division is when you got guys like Glover Teixeira contending for a strap.
Glover Teixeira has been around since I started watching.
And now, look, he's deserving. He deserves to be there because he won all the fights leading up to this, and there really is no one else besides some guy that just trains in the woods, which we'll get to at another time. But
what?
Yeah, I'm going to show you the video later. It's insane.
Please do.
But I just think Błachowicz is going to be too much for him. Teixeira is 40 years old. He doesn't look like he's a MMA fighter at this point in his career. But like I said, he's a little bit healthier now. He stopped drinking. So there's a chance. There's a puncher's chance always, but I just don't see it. I think Błachowicz takes him out fairly easily in this one. And there's not much really to talk about with it.
Okay.
It's a very lackluster main event. There's other fights.
This fight is the banger.
This one's a banger. This is what there's a lot of controversy surrounding this fight. And bear with me because I'm going to run it back for you a little bit. Piotr Jan, the guy on the right, was the former champion. He was beating up Aljamain Sterling in, I guess, back in, I would say, January-ish.
Right.
A while back, right? Beating him handily. He illegally kneed Aljamain Sterling when he was down, got disqualified, lost the belt
by
disqualification. Aljamain Sterling has been on the shelf since. He has
can't lose the belt by disqualification.
Neck surgery,
in WWE.
Blah, 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 you name it. He's finding every excuse in the book to not step in there and fight against Piotr Jan. Corey Sandhagen, coming off of a controversial split decision loss to TJ Dillashaw. So right now, this is the first time in UFC history, I want to say, I don't know that for a fact, but I could confidently say that you have two guys coming off of a loss fighting for a title, which is very, very rare. And in this case, it makes sense because this is the two guys that should be fighting. Everybody and their mother thinks that Corey Sandhagen beat TJ Dillashaw in the
last
fight.
I do. I'm one of those people.
Right? It's
very, very shred. Like,
There's a shred of the fact that TJ could have won more rounds, but he got beat up really bad in two of those rounds. So if you're looking at a fight, TJ lost that fight. So now TJ had surgery. He couldn't take the interim title against Piotr Jan. So Sandhagen, the rightful winner of that fight, gets to step in. Now, the controversy really comes in where if Sandhagen wins this fight and Aljamain Sterling is the champion, how do you unify the belt? You can't unify that belt with a Piotr Jan Aljamain Sterling rematch, which needs to happen because of the way the first fight ended.
Right.
And Sandhagen got knocked out bad in his last loss, was a couple years back, by Aljamain Sterling. So that's like a weird round robin. I'm very interested to see. UFC's taken a risk by having this fight go down and ruining the chance at a Piotr Jan Aljamain Sterling rematch. And I'm very excited for this fight. To get into like the breakdown of it, Piotr Jan's a straight, really good boxer. He's like the Lomachenko of that division in boxing.
Right.
He has decent wrestling. I thought he was going to get out-wrestled by Sterling, and he held up. You know, takedown defense was legit. I don't think Sandhagen's going to bring any wrestling game to this one. I think that he's going to just stay on the outside and use his knee game, his kicking game, and his reach. And we'll see. I think that this one is a lot closer than the odds say. Sandhagen's it's a game opponent, and he's a lot bigger than Piotr Jan. So this one's a tough one for me to pick.
I'm excited. I'm
excited
to watch
Sandhagen because of purely me wanting him to win. But it's going to be a good fight.
I have a question. Do you think they show these fights at Topgolf?
No.
Okay.
And Scoop, Sandhagen got smacked. Dillashaw, are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. But anyway, all right, so sorry about that. I'm going to the Topgolf on Saturday night, so I'm
This fight, I might mention, is at 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Oh, you're right. It's an Abu Dhabi.
Right.
So an Abu Dhabi.
Fight, you're going to get these bets in. You want
yes,
to get them in
let's
early.
Let's do it. Let's do it. And Khabib guy's back in action,
all
bro.
All right, so Islam Makhachev is his name. And
Khabib
I
guy.
Call him the Khabib guy.
Everybody calls him the Khabib guy.
Bro, when I said the Khabib guy, it was like our third episode. I named it the Khabib guy, and it went fucking off.
Yeah?
And that was our second highest downloaded Chop Heads MMA episode.
Nice.
I guess these Russians love their people.
They do.
But I did get a little heat for disrespecting this guy by saying not calling him by name, but that's another story.
Wait, time out. Wait, he is Khabib's guy.
Yeah, but the way I was doing it was clearly in a disrespectful manner. Like I was like, this guy hasn't fought nobody. I don't even know his name.
So fight him.
The Khabib guy. No. But I've talked about the Hooker guy, Dan Hooker, right? Dan Hooker is a great fighter. Some people say he got his heart took against Michael Chandler. I say no, he just got hurt early and was disoriented the rest of the way. So he's coming off of a big win against the German Kelvin Gastelum. I can't remember his name, but he is a German that looks exactly like Kelvin Gastelum, so that's what we're going to call him. But Dan Hooker, hasn't been home in 3 months. The UFC is essentially moving his family out here. He can't go home because of New Zealand's travel laws.
And nuts.
But they paid him handsomely. He said he was able to buy a house with the money the UFC paid him to take this fight. Nobody will fight the Khabib guy. For whatever reason, he's ranked like fifth in the world at his weight, and he has one win in the top 15, largely because nobody will fight him. So if you have a bunch of guys ranked above you that won't fight you, then what happens in the UFC rankings? The UFC brass knows, like, well, the 7th ranked fighter wouldn't fight him, the 8th ranked fighter. So
right.
By default, he moves up. Plus, they stuffed a rocket up his ass the minute Khabib retired. And now you see what's happening. He's getting a big fight. Definitely his biggest test to date. Very smart fighter.
What's your gut say?
Way better striking than Khabib does, but the wrestling isn't as good, but still very good. We'll get to the point, the odds. Just flip to the next graphic.
Got it.
We'll talk about
it. Here is your UFC odds. And, of course, if you want to bet on these, BetMGM is the place to do it. Make sure, chopsportsmedia.com. Head on over. You see Jamie Foxx. You hit that little link there. Boom, you're on BetMGM. You register. You drop some coin. You make your bets. But here we go. These are the four fights. We talked about three of them. Four fights that Gooch has put on this graphic because they're worth betting.
At least. See Błachowicz -275. I think it's a little bit of a risk to take straight up. I think that's easily going to be thrown into a parlay for me, though, because I am very confident, but just not, the payoff isn't there. I'll probably throw all four of these in a parlay.
Really?
Yeah, with the only dog taking Sanhagen to hopefully chunk it up a little bit. So I'll go with Błachowicz at -275.
That's the theme of the day, huh? The chunk? Chunk it up, chunk?
Yeah, chunk it up, baby. Corey Sanhagen at +220, and that's the one that I have the most fear in. Islam Makhachev -700, Dan Hooker +500. I'll probably.
Wait, you're taking all the dogs?
No. Oh. I'm saying, like, I'll probably throw Makhachev in my parlay.
Right.
But I'll throw also a flyer on Hooker because that money, he's too good of a fighter to be that big of a dog, in my opinion.
That's a massive dog. +500 is big.
He definitely has a chance. This Makhachev guy, he hasn't fought anybody yet. Partial, not his fault, because we've talked about that earlier. Nobody wants to fight him. And then we got the everybody's favorite Dagestani Swedish guy, Khamzat Chimaev. Khamzat Chimaev. You know who he is?
Yes.
He's the guy that took the UFC by storm. He fought like 11 times in a week, right? It was a bunch of tomato cans. And then he caught COVID and couldn't recover. So this is his first time back in a really long time. It's good to see we get all the guys from Europe on this card because they haven't been able to travel to the States for a lot of these fights. So Abu Dhabi is a huge thing. He's going to kick the shit out of Ji Zhang Lang easily. So I'll throw him in my parlay, but yeah, Błachowicz, Sanhagen, Makhachev, and Chimaev. Throw some coin on that, and I feel like you'll be coming out a victor.
Let's do it. So make your money. BetMGM.com. UFC is big this week. I feel like it's been a while since we got a really, really interesting fight. Jimmy Palumbo, the resident UFC fan, says he has mixed feelings about this fight, meaning I don't know which fight he's talking about, but he's probably talking about them all or being sarcastic. He also wants us to promote his appearance at Ramada College, or is
Ramapo.
That supposed to be Ramapo, right? Because yes. He could spell. He's going to be at Ramapo today.
To talk about his career, his illustrious podcasting career, I hope.
If he doesn't plug his podcast, we're going to fire him. At this point, like, you have to at this
Jimmy
point.
Jimmy is also going to be on stage in 2 weeks performing the Nutcracker. Right? That's not a lie either, folks.
That is not a lie.
Tune into the Jimmy Palumbo show, which dropped yesterday, and you could hear all about Jimmy's performance in the Nutcracker. He's got a lot of...
He's missing a Rutgers game over it, right?
Yeah, a big one, the Penn State game, too. So shout out to Jimmy doing the dad thing.
Doing the dad thing. Jimmy, listen, man, just do what I do. Just don't. But then again, my daughter is not old enough to do anything at this point. Chop Sports Spelling Bee Contest. If you can spell three MMA fighters, you win $5,000.
First of all, I'm a Spelling Bee champion from School 27.
You know what it is? With you...
Pennsylvania Avenue School 27, shout out.
Well, I feel like you know a lot of words. If that's... You're very educated. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not just trying to, like, you know, toot your horn or whatever, but I'm just saying, like,
not
you
the sauna guy, Dave.
Listen, I'm around you every day. It's bound to happen. But anyway, you know, speaking of something we'll cover probably definitely more tomorrow as the Thursday night football game, and it's the Packers and all this stuff, but the COVID thing is running rampant right now with the Packers. I mean, this is not
I have some graphics going for the Alan Lazard, Davante Adams.
Yeah.
We're going to save those for tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
But also, as we are doing this podcast, my phone is blowing up, okay? And it's Joe Angelo, and he won't shut up about trying to trade. So I got to pick your brain real quick. Fantasy related, okay? So he's 2-5. He's struggling right now, okay? He just put out a group chat a group text to the entire league. He's willing to move Tyreek Hill and or DK Metcalf. I have a certain amount of guys I could probably give up for that, but like I need to improve my receiver because I have Robert Woods in a non-PPR, so it's like almost irrelevant to have Robert Woods. So would you trade the following people for a DK or a Tyreek Hill?
And Scoop, yes, definitely start Cobb Thursday if you have the room. It's, I think it's 16-man league. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. All right, so he needs a running back. And my starting running backs who I will not be trading are Najee Harris and Antonio Gibson. They're not going anywhere, right? And then my flex right now is Leonard Fournette. I feel like he's going to get the ball. He's the guy over there. It's like almost like his job to lose. On my bench, I have Elijah Mitchell, I have Zach Moss, and I have Javonte Williams. Would you trade any of those three for a DK or a Hill if I have to improve my receivers?
Honestly, I've talked at length about how I feel about Javonte Williams down the stretch. I would not move him under any circumstance because his value just isn't there where I think it's going to be. I think Javonte Williams, and I said this since day one, is going to be last year's Antonio Gibson, where down the stretch he's going to really help a lot of fantasy teams, specifically with his scheduling. And I hate to say this because I've been riding the Antonio Gibson train. I feel like name value alone, you might be able to get more out of him and Elijah Mitchell.
In a trade, you mean?
In a trade. For name value alone. But none of those guys, you're going to have to make a pretty little package if you're going to want to get either DK or Tyreek.
The reason why I feel like DK's lost his value is because of no quarterback for a little while.
But Russ will be back in 2 weeks. And we're talking about down the stretch. Yeah, Russ will be back. You saw him.
He was being weird in pregame again.
Going through his routine to keep.
I'll talk to Joe. He told me to bring it up on the show, so I did. I'll have to talk to him.
I would say definitely to move off of Gibson at this point.
And then start Mitchell every week or something?
No. I would just hang on. I'll start Mitchell or start Fournette and then play the flex. The flex might end up being Tyreek Hill or DK Metcalf, depending on which one you're able to pry off of him. So you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Joe Angelo, if he's listening, also, should I give him advice too?
No, I'll do that.
All right.
We'll stick with my team here as we broke in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh wall and saying by not talking about our fantasy teams. Jay Devlin chiming in. I don't know his record anymore, but I did see something last night that Scoop showed me. Okay. He showed me, and I didn't know this even featured on ESPN because I've never played ESPN fantasy football ever, except for this year. There's like a playoff chance percentage.
Yeah.
The Gooch is sitting at 2% chance to make the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
Damn, bro. You're doing us a dirty disservice by calling yourself this fantasy warlord and just dropping the ball, man.
My fantasy acumen speaks for itself. I've been
doing this. He shows all the rings.
I've been doing this. Like, everybody here could attest to that, right?
Obviously messing with you.
One fantasy record in a 16-man league, which I've never done anything like
that before. It's a rough thing,
and
dude.
The reason being is, like, there's literally... I've had the first waiver claim in this league since week two.
And you haven't used it?
I have not used it. It actually is stunting me because there's nobody worth using that one on, but I need to pick up some guys. So
what about like a Gainwell? He's gone?
What?
You're right. 16-team league, they're all gone. Right. But he had to be picked up at one point.
Juszczyk is gone.
Juszczyk.
Everybody's
gone.
That's
my boy.
All right? Everybody's gone. When I tell you that Khalil Herbert was gone. Like
before Herbert? Gone. Like before guys got
maybe
hurt?
Not. Scoop added him, but Scoop's a piece of shit for that. Because he barely beat me to it.
He said he's 7-0. He's third in scoring. So obviously he's doing something right.
I know. I look at the roster and I'm just like, I don't see it. Just don't see it.
In any event, we want to thank you guys again for the 40,000 downloads on the podcast network. There is so much stuff to consume. A basketball podcast coming soon entitled The Cross Court Cast with Scoop Espo and his cousin Vinny. So that's coming soon. Obviously, today, a bunch of podcasts dropped as I take a piece of hair off this thing. That's weird. A bunch of podcasts today dropped all about the star. If you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, I have not talked Dallas Cowboys on this podcast. It's almost like I'm in therapy all of a sudden where I'm just like, I'm three days Cowboys free.
No, you had some moments on Monday, bro.
How? They didn't even play.
I wouldn't say that you talked Cowboys, but this I understand to a degree, where any situation that happens with any other team, you'll be like, well, when Zeke was suspended or when...
Oh, well, that's Goodell being a jerk-off. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know...
But you weren't like, the Cowboys. Could we talk a little bit about the Cowboys for a second?
Yeah, sure, why not? Even though Jimmy Palumbo is self-promoting his own podcast numbers. Thank you very much, Jimmy.
I'm just giving you a warning, because there is going to be two things that happen.
Okay.
Right? The Cowboys are going to win a lot of football games.
Sure.
Right? Their schedule is the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, not in a bad way for you, in a very good way. But what's going to end up happening down the stretch, and I know this is going to happen because I've dealt with it in the past.
Stephen A. Smith right now? Are you saying the impending implosion is happening?
No, I'm saying that you're gonna have to answer these questions, and rightfully so, all the way into the playoffs. Because the Cowboys are making the playoffs. That's a foregone conclusion.
They're playing in the NFC East. They better make the playoffs. They're
going to be completely untested. Like, the only team that they have to play with a winning record until Thanksgiving is the Chargers. They already played them. And then the Raiders. So it's like a pretty decent draw for a team with a winning record on Thanksgiving, mind you.
My Thanksgivings last 2 years have been horrid.
I honestly think that
the Bills rocked us.
The fact that Dallas is coming off a bye it might be your savior, but so is Minnesota. Right? This is going to be a good game.
I don't want a good game.
I think Minnesota.
I'm not interested looking in a
at
good
the
game.
Schedule. Out of the next 10 games, honestly, I think this is the one that's like the hardest.
Yeah.
Right.
Even the only thing I can say is that the Cowboys beat this Vikings team last year with Andy Dalton. So it's like,
does not matter.
No.
This is this year. Completely new team.
Vikings have the same team.
Dave.
They do.
Completely new thing.
I'm just saying.
New right. everything. The Vikings defense is actually playing decent. The Vikings are a decent team right now. They're the team that I feel like could kind of make a push for that one of those up for grab spots in the NFC. This game means a lot to them, so they're going to come playing hard, coming off of a bye week, so we'll see. I'm interested to see what Vikings' record is coming
out. I read Jay Devlin's comment real quick, but it says, agree, Minnesota will slow the game down with a lot of Cook. When I read that quick, I was like, all right, Jay, calm down. But it's Dalvin Cook he's referring to. We'll preview that game, obviously, Friday and pick the game Friday and what?
Now. But the Cowboys are going to have to answer a lot of questions about being not battle-tested. They're going to have played
nobody. They got the Chiefs on the schedule. They got the Raiders on the schedule. They got the Cardinals on the schedule. These are, three.
The fact that you just said the Raiders.
Raiders are good.
I understand, but like... the Chiefs, Dave?
The Chiefs are not what they are right now.
Hey, you gotta
and they're
going
to get
you
right
gotta
this play, week you by gotta play the teams spanking are, the New
you
York
You got to play the teams that
diet.
Are on your schedule. The Patriots made a dynasty out of playing shit teams all season long and then winning the Super Bowl at the end of the year. So I'm not saying that's going to happen for you because it's clearly not. But
can you imagine what this network might look like if the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl this year? Can you
I have a better question.
Yeah.
Could you imagine what it's going to look like when the Cowboys get eliminated by the Packers in the playoffs again? That's a better question for the Chop Sports people out there.
No, it's not. It's not a good question at all because I don't know if I can handle myself losing to Aaron Rodgers one more time. I don't know if I could do
Jay
that.
Devlin, they did play the Bucs and the Chargers, but they only beat the Chargers, so their wins are
nah, that was a moral victory. They're actually 5-0-1. They're still undefeated. 5-0-1. One is being the moral victory over the Buccaneers. So look, the Cowboys are playing harder teams. It's just that they're catching them at the right time. Like, we caught the Panthers without McCaffrey. That game would have been interesting had McCaffrey been in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that game would have been a little bit more competitive. If the Eagles had a competent quarterback, that game would have been competitive. But they don't. It's Jalen Hurts, and he stinks. You know what I mean? But what
if I leave the network and the Cowboys and the Packers lose? Is that like him saying like he's as important to this network as the Cowboys and the Packers' success is?
That's not true. Even though, listen, it's been a month plus since we had to talk about a loss. And I know Jimmy said that the other day.
And
he said,
Jimmy,
the podcast is going to be great on Monday if the Cowboys and the Packers lose.
When the Packers suck, everybody wants to see me going through misery. So last year when the Bucks lost, when the Bucks beat the Packers in the championship game, that was our highest downloaded episode in our first like 2 month stretch.
It was
by a lot too.
Yeah, everybody wanted. Thanks, remember, guys. Remember, we were at the mall. No, what was it? Oh, that was Dave, the Aaron Rodgers stuff.
Did we go to the mall together?
Yes, we did. Imagine that. We actually hang out outside this place. We went to the mall because I don't even know why we were doing something, but it was right. Oh, it was right before the. I think you ran out of laundry, so you needed jeans.
Oh, it was
for the draft party. But all the Rodgers stuff was breaking about him not, wanting a trade and this, that, and the third. And like, yeah, so remember that? Remember how many times my phone blew up? My father called me. Is he okay? Is Gooch well? We don't know.
And here we are, an MVP candidate later.
Here we go
going
again.
Into week 8, and Aaron Rodgers is cooking.
He's cooking. He's going to be cooking. I don't know what he's going to be cooking next. Hey, listen, Jimmy got his wish, though. Jimmy yesterday or on the podcast on Monday said that could Aaron Rodgers do anything without these receivers? This is a big if. We'll talk about it more tomorrow, and we'll close it with this. If the Packers can win tomorrow, minus their biggest gun, and I'm not talking about Aaron Rodgers, I'm talking about Davante Adams, where it feels like he force feeds that guy more than a baby who doesn't want food. He force feeds Davante Adams a lot, and he's there all the time. if the Packers, without him, without Lazard, do it with like a Randall Cobb and a Tonyan Day, then there is no more debate ever again as to who the best quarterback in this league right now is. And zero Joe LaCorey, debate.
I'm going
to
touch on your comment a little bit. I'd be more...
What does he say?
I'd be more worried about the Packers next 5 weeks before I talk the playoffs. Now, I understand...
He's saying the Packers are going to miss the playoffs? I understand
what you're getting at, but you have to look at their division. I'm very, very confident that the Packers are going to be able to...
Ready for this? Look at that one. Is he crazy to say the Packers can lose the next 5 weeks? Am I missing something? Like, did I not look at the schedule? I know they got Cardinals, but like, who else did they got?
You are crazy. Say that.
Dude, that's...
Show me a time where an Aaron Rodgers quarterback team lost five straight.
You can't. You're hard-pressed to find it, and I don't think it's ever happened, but... Again, big test. We'll talk about it tomorrow because it's Thursday Night Football. It is week number 8 coming at you already. There is World Series games to be played tonight, or just one game, actually. Just one World Series game to be played tonight. Game 2 is here. Obviously, NBA's got some action as well. But again, thank you guys for downloading the podcast. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you for doing everything that you guys do to help Chop Sports grow. We actually have a big, busy day today where, just so you know, in the future, even if you don't want to be on the Chop Sports Podcast Network and you got to get things recorded, we're going to have a fully functioning studio over right here, right next door to us. We're building that right now every day for studio rental and whatnot. Just anything you need, we're here for you. Chop Sports is your guys. I'm also saying, I think we already said this yesterday, but November is Nilvember, N-I-L-vember. It's going to be featuring a lot of our athletes. We're going to bring some on for interviews. We're going to talk about them. We're going to blog about them. We're going to push their merch. We're going to fill their pockets with money because these college kids were deprived for all these years. We're finally helping them out. Let's get them going. You know, let's get them going. And that's a lot. Download tomorrow's podcast for, what is it, Till Mets Do Us Part. They're back today. The goddamn Jets are back today. Epic rant by John Saponaro on Bill Belichick. I loved it. I listened to it. It was great. So go download that if you're a Jets fan. According to Jimmy Palumbo, my son, my future son, will be a Jets fan. So I'll have him subscribe with his tiny little fingers as soon as that drops. So for Sturch and Gooch, and of course, nobody's behind the goddamn glass. It has been another episode of the Chop Sports Daily. Thank you for watching. We'll see you guys tomorrow on a Thirsty Thursday.
So Dave thinks it's funny to make fun of me.
What do I do now?
For being something for Halloween, but there's definitely pictures of your Fred Flintstone ass floating around the internet from like a year ago.
I have a kid! I have a reason!
Fred Flintstone ass boy.